Hey, man, I appreciate that, honey. Thank you so much for singing this morning and such a beautiful song. I flat enjoyed hearing that. Bring it all to the table. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. A man was getting up in years, and for the last several years, he was having a hard time hearing. Struggling to hear, constantly having people repeat themselves, constantly saying, huh, what'd you say? Finally, he broke down and went to the doctor. The doctor examined his hearing and prescribed that he get hearing aids. So he got hearing aids in both ears, and the doctor told him after testing him with the hearing aids in, he says, man, now your hearing is perfect. Your family is going to be so happy about this. A few weeks later, the man came back to the doctor, and the doctor was just doing a follow-up with him to make sure things were going good. And he said, how does your family like the improvement in your hearing now that you have these hearing aids? He looked at the doctor, and he said, Doc, I actually haven't told any of them that I've gotten these. I just sit around listening to them, and I've changed my will 3 times. Amen. You got to be careful sometimes wondering who's listening. Amen. An old man was wondering if his wife was losing her hearing. And he noticed that he was repeating himself a lot to her. So he decided to test her. So he stood behind her. She didn't know he was there. And he whispered very softly, standing a few feet behind her where she was sitting down. He whispered, honey, can you hear me? And there was no response. So he took a step in and said it again. He said, honey, can you hear me? And a second time, there was no response. Then a third time, he got up right behind her. I mean, right up literally almost in her ear. And he said, honey, can you hear me? And she said, for the third time, yes. Amen. Oh, my goodness. We've been talking about voices. Hearing the voice of God in particular. We've been talking about that. And as you can see, we've got our theme unveiled at this moment of our upcoming 62nd annual World Mission and Evangelism Conference, which will start next Sunday. We're so excited about it because we're going to challenge you to answer the call. Answer the call. God is speaking. God's voice has not gone silent. And God is still calling out the people. And this year, we're going to be challenging you to hear the voice of God and pick up that phone and answer the call. It's going to be a great week. And we covet your attendance. We covet your prayers, your support. But we're going to be kicking this off next Sunday morning, and it'll go through next Wednesday night. A very important time for Town East Baptist Church, a time that we draw all of our focus into the world of missions and evangelism and outreach. By the way, I was so happy yesterday. We had a good group here for the soul safari. We went out and did a bunch of door-to-door visiting and soul winning. And the two Rogers, Roger Wilson and Roger Tetro, went out soul winning. And I got a text about midway through it that Roger Wilson had led a lady to Christ. And she bowed her head and got saved, and I'm so happy about that. And I could see you were on the street across from me and Julian, and man, I saw you with the lady about to have the party there, and I saw you giving her the plan of salvation. And when we came by, she spoke to us for a minute, and so it seems like you did a very good job talking to her. But I was so happy to see us as a church, not just concerned about foreign missions, which we should be concerned about, but we need to be concerned about reaching our neighbors. Reaching the people who live in the shadow of the steeple of this church. People who live in the highways and the hedges and on the byways. People in the neighborhoods that we drive by every day. And I was so happy to have a good group that came out yesterday. It was encouraging, and I enjoyed getting out there and just going door-to-door soul winning yesterday. Just had a wonderful time. But we're going to be focusing on the call of God. The call of God in your life. And I'm going to encourage you to be praying about that, thinking about that, And we're going to do some things all through that week to bring you back to this idea that God is calling, that God is talking, that God is still speaking. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Now, in the last few weeks, we've learned some things that are very important. And today I'm going to cover the topic, as I promised last week, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? 1 Timothy 4 is where I asked you to go. Let's look at verse number 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Back in verse 1, we see that in the latter times, by the way, I believe that we are in the latter part of the latter times. If we're in the last days, I believe we're in the last of the last days. I believe that we very well could be the generation that hears the shout, hears the trumpet, and is called up to meet the Lord in the air. I look at the world around me, and there's nothing that is yet to be fulfilled. By the way, I want you to be in prayer for Israel. As you know, they were attacked, and they've now have declared war. Over 1,000 people, I read in one report, were killed by this sneak attack this week by their enemies, and Israel is now in war. But I see all of that not as coincidental, but I see that as keys to and pieces of a puzzle of prophecy that we see as the Lord gets ready to return. We know that things are going to be very interesting and busy in Israel. Israel is the key to the whole thing. So anytime something happens in Israel, all of us preachers, we tune in. Our ears perk up. We understand the importance of that little piece of real estate over in the Middle East. But we see in the latter days, one of the things that God says about the latter days is that people will depart from the faith. This is something that is known as apostasy. Say that word with me, apostasy. The word apostasy means to fall away from, to fall away from. There will be people who enter into a life of apostasy. They will fall away from the practice and the patience and the discipline of the thing called Christianity. We are disciples of Christ, but there will be many that will fall away into a state of apostasy. And in that state, they will give heed or listen, give ear to seducing spirits. Spirits that want to lead them and guide them and speak to them. And it will bring in their heart doctrines of devils, false doctrines. Now, the Word of God also states this. You don't have to turn there, but listen to it. John 8, verse 47 makes this statement. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye, therefore, hear them not, because ye are not of God. Beloved, I want to ask you this morning, do you hear the voice of God? And if not, why not? If not, why not? The Bible says that there are those who do not hear the voice of God because they are not of God. And then we see that there are seducing spirits that seek to lead the weak Christian away from the plan and the will and the voice of God. We see these warnings in Scripture. Now we've established that, number one, God is still speaking to man today. How many of you believe that? Say amen. And we have established that God speaks through three mediums. God speaks today through the Word of God, first and foremost. The Word of God is the single most important tool that the Christian can have. There are other books that are good books, but there is no book comparable or equal to the Word of God. It should never be replaced. I love Bible study things, and I like little Bible study guides and devotional guides, but those are like vitamins to a meal. You should never replace eating with vitamins. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Vitamins are a supplementation, but it was never designed to replace food. Well, those kind of things, those study aids are good, and I encourage you to use them, but never use them in place of just simply reading your Bible. The Word of God is the tool that God uses to primarily speak to the heart of man. And when you read this book and you daily get into this book, you will daily find that God speaks to you through this book. You will find instruction and guidance, comfort. All of those things will come through the voice of God and the Holy Spirit that is involved with this living book. So we've established that the medium of the Word of God is how God primarily speaks, and the Word of God is the final authority. We also know, though, that God still speaks through the pulpit of the preacher. God uses preaching in your life to speak to you. We also understand that God uses the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of the believer. And God speaks through the Holy Spirit living inside of you. We've also established that God speaks to man in order to do the following things. These are the goals that the voice of God tries to achieve by speaking to you. We know that, number one, God speaks to convict the child of God. God then also will speak to condemn the child of God if the voice of conviction is ignored. So if you don't want to be condemned, stop at the conviction part of it. But God is the righteous judge. He will warn and he will warn and he will convict. But if that conviction falls on deaf ears, then God will speak in a condemnation. He'll bring judgment. We also know that God speaks in order to coach us. God will lead and guide and direct us through the voice of these three mediums that I've previously given. So to convict, to condemn, to coach, but then also God will speak to you in order to bring comfort into your life. God will bring comfort, and there will be times in your life where you will feel like the psalmist when he said, I looked to my left hand, and no man knew me, and I looked to my right, and no man regarded my soul. There will be times that you will feel alone in this world. And there are times that the words of man will fall very vainly in front of you. And there will be times that you just don't have anywhere else to turn. But during those times are times that you will the most loudly hear the voice of God in your heart. And God will comfort you during those times that you need it most. And God still speaks to comfort his children. During those dark days that will come on your life, you will hear the voice of God, and he will comfort you. But we also know that, number five, God will still speak in order to call. And that is what we're going to be focusing on over the next week. We are going to be focusing on the voice of God as it calls to his children, as it calls to his servant. God is calling. And we need to hearken and answer that call. Now, I want to establish another truth, something I've not covered already. But we've established that God speaks. We've established these five reasons or goals that God has when he speaks to us. Now, I want to establish another truth concerning voices in your life. There are three sources of voices that speak to us. Two of these are internal, one is external. But there are three sources of voices that guide, lead, and direct in our lives. The first one I want to point out is the internal intellectual voices. The internal intellectual voices. This is the voice inside of us that speaks to us through our intellect. For some of you, that's a very short conversation, but can I say that out loud? The voice has made me say it. That is the voice that speaks to you inside of you, and it speaks through your intellect, your instincts, and your intelligence. This voice speaks to us from the viewpoint of our education, our experience, and our common sense. That's that voice that cautions, that voice that when we're trying to figure things out speaks to us, that voice that when we're looking at problems and situations and we're thinking about it, that's that voice in our head that speaks through our intellect. This voice is benefited by the gathering of knowledge and the anointing of wisdom. Knowledge comes through education, learning, seeking. Wisdom comes from the anointing hand of God. We seek education through learning. We seek wisdom at the feet of Jesus. In our prayers daily, we ought to ask God to give us wisdom. God said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. Beloved, you need to seek an intellectual voice that's strong, and you seek that through learning, learning, learning. Learn everything you can about everything you can. Constantly be trying to educate yourself. That voice of education will help you. That voice of intellect will guide you. That voice of intellect can protect you. And through the tools of wisdom and knowledge, you can have a strong internal intellectual voice that will carry you through your life and help you make many wise and good decisions. The Bible says there are people who that voice is very weak. The Bible calls that person the simple. In the book of Proverbs, you see the simple-minded man mentioned over and over and over. And that simple-minded man's always getting in trouble. And he's always going down the wrong path. And he's always siding with the wrong team. And he's always putting himself in the wrong place because he lacks a strong intellectual inner voice. And a lot of that's just because in his simplicity, he has never sought knowledge and he has never asked for wisdom. Beloved, I hope you'll seek knowledge. Young people, I know that school can sometimes be troubling. How many of you agree with that statement? How many of you found school troubling sometimes? Amen. How many of you wish you could just graduate tomorrow? Yeah, I figured so. Cadence, you pretty much will be graduating here soon. And the reality is, though, by going to school, you have given to yourself a stronger inner intellectual voice. Now, as you grow, things that you thought you had no need for, things that you said in a class and you thought, why do they got to teach us this? Why do we need to know that? Why is that important? Well, one day you're going to have a situation in front of you and things that you learned on one of those random school days that you thought, I'll never need this. Suddenly that intellectual voice will reach in and draw from that and give you answers. And you're going to see that through your life it's going to happen over and over again. By the same token, the student of the Bible who read a portion of scripture this morning and you got done reading it and you thought to yourself, I really don't know how to use that. You ever had your, I love these note takers Bibles. Many of you have them too. It's got the big blank spots on both sides. I just retired one. I got a brand new one now I'm breaking in. And I love to write notes, but sometimes I'll read a chapter of the Bible and at the end of it, that side there is clean. I may have underscored a few things, but sometimes I'll read and literally I'll run out of room with all the stuff that's speaking to me through it. Sometimes I'll read it and there's not much there. But you know what? I have learned that in the issues of my life, often what I read, 2 years ago but didn't think much of it, God brought that up to the forefront of my mind through my intellectual voice because I had stored it in my intellectual warehouse. Because I had deposited it, I could withdraw it. How many of you have ever heard a sermon that maybe didn't bring you to an altar? Maybe you didn't come to an altar with tears in your eyes crying, and at the moment, maybe that sermon didn't have a huge immediate impact on you. But then 3 months later, you found yourself going through something, and words from that same very sermon that you just kind of heard and left, and it didn't have a big impact. But maybe an illustration that was given, maybe a couple of the points that were given in that sermon, come back later to be able to help you solve and figure out what you need to do. Has that ever happened for anybody in the room? It's happened for me. It's happened for me. I grew up going to a Christian school. Went to Christian school from K-4 all the way to 12th grade. We heard a lot of chapel speakers. We had chapel every week. And man, we had some young men that would come preach and wise, older, senior pastors. And of course, a lot of the staff preached. And you know what? There are things that I remember, although I cannot tell you the name of the man who preached it. I cannot even recall what the man looked like. I can't really recall most of the message. But at this stage in my life, Brother Stephen, there are things that will pop in my head, and I remember hearing it in chapel when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. I don't remember who preached it. Don't remember the name of the guy who came. But he left me with something that I stored. Maybe it was a story that he told with an application. Or maybe it was a statement that he made and it just lodged there. I don't remember who said it, but it still helps me to this day. Why? Because it's been stored in my intellectual warehouse, and now that voice of intellectual reason can use it to speak to me and to lead me. So we see the first voice that is definitely there, the first source would be that internal intellectual voice. There's a second source I want to point out to you, and it's the external counseling voice. The external counseling voice. Now, these are the voices we hear from external physical sources. These voices lead us, they guide us, and they direct us. Often, these sources are good friends that we have. Often, it may be for a young person, their parents. Or maybe even a person who's fortunate enough to have parents that are alive, but older and full of wisdom and learning and knowledge. How many of you have parents that sometimes, even as an adult, you call them to say, "Hey, Dad, I need a little help with this. What do you think?" I call my dad regularly, to tap into his intellectual warehouse. I used to always borrow his tools and lose them, but now I'm tapping into his intellectual warehouse. It may be a parent, maybe a pastor, maybe a doctor. Could be a good friend that you have in your life that's been a source of external counseling. And it's a voice that you hear and you pay attention to. And often there's a lot of people speaking, but there are certain voices in our life that are just a little louder than other voices. And often we surround ourselves with people that are good, godly, wise counselors. The Bible says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, these voices speak to us from people that we allow to influence us. Now, beloved, I want to warn you, you got to be careful who you allow to influence you. Amen. You got to be careful. And by the way, anybody who influences you influences everybody you influence. As a pastor, I got to be careful who I allow to influence me, because if I allow people that are not sound to influence me, I can lead you to a place of doctrinal unsoundness. So not all of the external counseling voices are good. We have to have a discerning spirit, and we must be careful not to let the wrong voice lead us. There's a third source of voices that I want to point out to you that's definitely real, and it's as real as the first two. And it is the internal spiritual voice. The internal spiritual voice, or voices. These are voices that are internal and invisible, and they come from one of two sources inside of us. And it's a source of a voice that we hear, but it is inside of us. Can't see it, but the voice is definitely real. And in that, there are two sources that are possibly talking to us in this internal spiritual voice realm. Number one is a good voice, and that would be the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to us intellectually. I'm sorry, not intellectually, but internally in a spiritual voice. The Holy Spirit is an internal voice that speaks to us, and it's a good source. But we need to also be equally aware that there is an evil source, and that source is demonic. And there is very definitely a demonic internal spiritual voice that the child of God must contend with. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. Now, these are three sources of voices that we hear in our ears, in our mind. We must be able to discern the good voices from the evil voice, because both are always present. You ever been in a conversation where everybody was talking at once? And you're trying to hear somebody that's in guiding you, but there's a lot of people trying to talk to you? These voices are always talking. When good is talking to you at the same time, the evil voice will be trying to talk to you as well. You ever notice when you're trying to hear and everybody's talking, it sometimes can lead to confusion? there's a lot of spiritual confusion due to the fact that these are two sources of voices always speaking to us, trying to coach us, direct us. We must learn to hearken unto this spiritual good voice, the voice of God through the Holy Spirit and the message that He sends. And it is my sincere hope that through these little series of messages that you will become more tuned in to the voice of God and learn to hear and discern His voice even in the midst of all of the confusion and all of the talking and all the noise that's inside of you, all the different counselors trying to lead you. You have to weed through that and hear the good voice of the Holy Spirit, even though the voices of evil spirits are always talking. When I was playing basketball my ninth grade year, we moved up into the junior varsity ranks at our school. In the junior varsity ranks, we had a coach. His name was Don Aaron. Don Aaron was a very good coach. He'd won several championships throughout his coaching tenure. And he had a practice, something unique to him, that the coaches that we had in the what we call the junior B level at our school. Our school had three levels, junior B, junior varsity, and varsity. It was a Christian school, so we all went from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, but they had split up sports into three divisions. When I went into the junior varsity realm, Coach Aaron was different from Coach Laird because Coach Laird wore a whistle every day in practice. He'd blow that whistle, and then he'd give instruction. When he'd blow the whistle, action would stop, and we would look at him for instruction, and he'd blow that whistle and say, get on the line, or blow that whistle and go to this corner, or blow this, you know, water break, whatever the instruction would be. Don Aaron, on the first day of practice, explained to us that he does not wear a whistle. He said, young men, I do not wear a whistle in practice. You'll never hear me or see me with a whistle during any of our practices. And he said, and I'll tell you why. I'm not allowed to have a whistle during a game. And when you go into action in a gym full of people, you're going to hear cheerleaders, and you're going to hear fans, and your parents, and your aunts, and your uncles will be in those stands, and the former alumni, and everybody that's there that thinks you, that they are your coach. And he said, you know what I want during the confusion of a basketball game? I want you to be able to hear over the cheering and over the dad that's telling you to shoot it when I've told you not to shoot it, and over that uncle that's telling you to run this play when I've already told you the play I want you to run. I want you to be able to hear my voice in a gym full of screaming, yelling, loud people and be able to discern it from everybody else's. And he said, I'm not going to yell in practice. I'm going to talk. And you're going to learn to hear me. You're going to learn to hear me in action. And you're going to learn to hear me in the confusion. And you know, what a wise discipline Coach Aaron taught and trained into us. You know, you and I must do the same thing with the Lord's voice. In the midst of the chaos of life, we must be able to hear and discern the voice of Jesus against the background of a lot of meaningless clutter, confusing voices that are out there. Not all of them mean to do us good. Some of them mean to do us harm. They intentionally want to mislead us. And we must be able to hear the only voice that matters, and that is the voice of God. I want you to hear some verses. You don't have to turn to them, but I'm going to read them because I'm going to move quickly here. Some verses that the Word of God gives us on this topic. In John 10, verse 1 through 5, we see these statements. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. I love this, for they know his voice. Boy, if you have your pen, underline that. The sheep follow him. Why? They know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And other sheep I have. I'm sorry, in John 10, verse 16, listen to this verse. John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. John 10, verse 27 through 28 says this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it great that God knows you? Isn't it great to know that Jesus knows you? He says, man, I know my sheep. I know who are mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We see that the child of God will hear the voice of God and follow it. Now, the illustration that Jesus uses in these verses I've just read is of sheep and a shepherd, and it's a great illustration. I had the privilege of going to Israel and spending some time there, and while I was there, we visited the village of Nazareth, the childhood home of Jesus Christ. It was a very surreal moment. I remember being in that village area, trying to envision what it would have been like during Jesus' day, looking at the hills and the surroundings and wondering, did Jesus play on this hillside as a little boy? I saw a little creek and a river. I wondered, did Jesus go down there with his friends and play in the water? And it was a very surreal moment. But while we were there, one of the parts of the tour, we went to see a shepherd, and he did a bunch of demonstrations. We made some goat milk cheese, and he taught us how to do that, did some other things. But he taught us some things while we were there about the world of being a shepherd, and he pointed out some amazing things. He says that often the shepherds would mingle their flocks together on a hillside where there are many sheep grazing on a green grass hill. He said the shepherds would fellowship and enjoy each other's company during that day while the sheep would eat and become all mingled in there together. You'd have one man's flock in there and another man's flock, and there might be four or five different flocks of sheep from four or five different shepherds. At the end of the day, they're going to all go back to their place, but throughout that day, the sheep are just all mingled together, eating together. It's just all mixed in there. And he says at the end of the day, when the shepherds would get ready to leave and head home, that the shepherd would shout a word, and then he would blow a trumpet, a horn, usually made from a ram's horn. And then he said an amazing thing will happen. He said the sheep will all start to separate from each other. And as the shepherd begins to walk from that field back toward their home, you'll notice that his sheep will hear his shout and the sound of his trumpet, and they will come to him and follow him home. At the end of the day, he will go home with the sheep that he brought there that morning. They will follow him. They will not follow the sound of the other man's trumpet. They will not heed the voice of the other man's shout. Man, I was listening to him say that and talk about that. Of course, all of us there began to make this connection. We know that one day Jesus is going to shout. The Bible says the horn of God will sound. The Bible says all of his sheep will hear his voice and the sound of his trumpet. And we will follow out of here, our shepherd, to life everlasting. What a day, what a glorious day that's going to be. Amen. But the sheep that are not his do not answer the call. They stay on the field or they follow the other shepherd home. Now, in this lesson today, we see that we are in a world with other spiritual and physical voices. Voices that are led by evil, motivated by evil, and they seek to seduce us and lead us away. Voices of evil, voices of foolishness, voices of destruction and discouragement, depression and despair. And they seek to do several things in our life. They seek to, number one, discombobulate us, get us confused. God is not the author of confusion. But Satan, rather, is the master of confusion. And his voice seeks to discombobulate the child of God, to get him confused, get him lost, get him discouraged. And that voice will come to that child of God with words of depression and self-depreciation and despair and discord. And that voice of evil wants to discourage through all of those things. That voice of evil wants to divert, get you diverted from the path that God has for you. And ultimately, the voice of evil always seeks to destroy. That is the goal of the voice of evil. Now, the foolish and unwise person can end up listening to the wrong shepherd, end up following the wrong path home. Much like what is described in the book of Proverbs. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, we see a young man described as being simple and void of understanding. And Solomon is looking through his window and he observes this simple, unlearned man, a man with a very weak intellectual warehouse. Therefore, the intellectual voice is pretty useless to him. And he's not very spiritually in tune, so the Holy Spirit's voice is not very powerful either. And this young man is going to be enticed by a seducing voice. Now notice what it says there in Proverbs 7, verse number 22. We see the end of this young man. There's a lot written about him, but this is the end of after he's already been seduced. Verse 22 says, "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life." We see the foolish and unlearned child of God is susceptible to those spiritual voices that seek to seduce you. We must be able to discern, to be able to understand which voice we are listening to. There are many voices of evil out there, a demonic interference that seeks to misdirect us. It is the voice that we hear in temptation. You ever hear the voice of temptation? That place where you come to that you struggle between good, the knowledge of good, and the doing of good. You realize in most cases, it's not a struggle between enlightenment and ignorance. Most of the time, you're not tempted because you don't know what's right or what's wrong. Most of the time, when you're in the struggle of temptation, you're faced with two options. One is evil and one is righteous, but often the one that is righteous is not the one you desire. And that's the place of temptation. It's very rarely a situation of ignorance where you just didn't know what you were doing was wrong. The voice of spiritual guidance, there is a Holy Spirit side that says, do right. Do right. You know what's right. You know this is wrong. You know this is going to bring hurt. But on the other side, there's that demonic inner voice that says, it's okay. Everybody does it. You won't get caught. God will love you anyway. There won't be any consequence. And the reality is, you already knew which one is right or wrong. Here's the struggle. Do you have the ability to do what's right? And that voice of temptation comes to you when you're in a struggle between right and wrong. And that voice of temptation is an evil voice that loudly speaks to you and tries to beguile you. The voice of discouragement comes from an evil voice. That voice that tells you that you can't do it, that you can't make it. That voice that tells you to quit. That voice that tells you that it's not worth it. That voice that tells you that you're worthless, that you're useless. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yet the devil will come to you with a voice, a demonic voice that tells you that you are worthless, meaningless. That's that voice of discouragement. And the evil voice brings with it a voice of division and discord. The evil voice brings a voice of diversion from God's good plan in your life. The evil voice will bring doctrinal fallacy. The evil voice will speak to you things that cannot be backed up by this final authority called the Word of God. That evil voice will bring confusion. That evil voice will speak through the bitterness that's in your heart. And these voices have spoken to many and has led them to do evil and self-harmful things. Many years ago, there was a young Arabian man. And this man would travel on a trade route that was many, many, many miles long, which required him to stop at different places to spend the night. According to his memoirs, he stopped at a certain cave on his trade route where he would stop regularly and he would sleep there in the desert area in the Middle East. While he was sleeping in that cave, he said that he would hear voices from the back of the cave that would talk to him in the night. He said at first it was frightful, but then he grew interested in it and began to communicate with the voices from the back of the cave. He said that voice instructed him to write down the words that it spoke. And that young man began to write down the words in the back of that cave as he was traveling regularly on his trade route. And when he would stop in that cave, he would write the words that the Spirit would speak to him. Those words became the Quran. That young man was the Islamic prophet Muhammad. And out of the back of a cave, a spirit spoke to him the words that he wrote. And I don't doubt that I'm not here to say he did not hear voices, but I will say that it was not a holy voice that he heard. Satan is the great counterfeiter. In Genesis, we see his priests as they were able to counterfeit the miracle that God had wrought through Moses when he threw his rod down and it turned into a serpent. Out in the wilderness, Moses felt that he was the wrong man for the job, and God said, "No, I'm going to be with you. Throw your rod down." He threw it down and it turned into a big old serpent. Then God told him to reach down and grab it by the tail. Now that's where I would have lost it with God. That's where he and I, God, this is where I leave you. Come with me. God told him to reach down there and grab the tail of that serpent, and it turned back into a rod. And then when he was before Pharaoh, as a demonstration of the power of God, Moses threw his rod down, and once again it turned into a serpent. But then the false prophets, the demonic, Satan-worshipping prophets of Pharaoh, his priests, they threw their rods down, and their rods turned into serpents as well. Then the Bible says that the rod of Moses devoured each of the serpents that the false priests conjured up. You know, by the way, that tells us something. God is greater. Amen? Amen. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. The devil can emulate, but it's always a lesser copy of the real thing. But we know that the counterfeiter wants to counterfeit the voice of God in our life. Although we know that God is greater, we have to be able to hear his voice and discern it and understand that this lesser voice, this lesser evil spiritual voice seeks to confuse and confound the child of God. We must discern the voices by understanding these principles. How do you know when an evil voice is talking to you versus a holy voice? How do you know? How do you know? How do you discern this? Because there's all these voices all the time talking. How do we discern that Holy Spirit voice from that evil, seducing spiritual voice? Here's some principles I want to give you quickly. Number one, the voice of the Holy Spirit never goes against the Word of God. Let me say it again. The voice of the Holy Spirit never goes against the Word of God. It is said that cult leader Jim Jones once took a copy of his Bible during a Sunday morning service where he was preaching to a congregation, and he looked at his congregation and he said, "The problem with many of you is that too many of you are listening to this and not this." And they say that he threw his Bible against the wall. Not long after that, he led many people to a place called Guyana, where he started a place called Jonestown, where he began to preach and teach socialism and communistic ideals intertwined with Scripture in a perversion of the revelation. And you know what? The minute he said that, the minute he stood up and said, "The problem with many of you is you're listening to this Bible and not me," everybody in that room should have got up and walked out immediately. Beloved, this is the final authority, and it exceeds what any preacher tells you. It exceeds what any pastor preaches, what any teacher teaches. It exceeds what mama told you. Amen? It exceeds what your own feelings are. Nobody cares about your feelings. This is the fact, the Word of God. There's a lot of false doctrine that has arisen out of people sharing their feelings. Well, I just feel. Nobody cares what you feel when it comes to this book. The truth is, he took many people back in 1978, 909 people followed him into a mass suicide and they perished following a false shepherd. And boy, there's so many stories that I could share. Time won't permit it. But I'm going to tell you something. The minute he challenged the voice of God, he should have been deemed as a demonic spirit. The Holy Spirit never goes against this book. He never advises you to break the laws of this book. He never leads you in a path that is contrary to Scripture or biblical principle. By the way, be careful about limiting the Bible to thou shalt nots. Where does it say thou shalt not? Whatever, you know, you want to put behind that. Listen, there are principles that the Bible teaches that are consistent with biblical doctrine. And the Holy Spirit counsels in consistency with biblical doctrine, biblical principle. The voice of the Holy Spirit never goes against the Word of God. Number two, the voice of the Holy Spirit never goes against the will of God. He will not lead you to disobey God or to take you away from God's will in your life. People are always saying, "Is this God's will?" For instance, you're a man with a wife and kids, and suddenly a job opportunity comes to you. You go and you explore the job, and you look at it, and you realize upon exploring it that if I take this job, I'm going to move my wife and my kids away from their church and away from a good school, away from family and things that are there. And then you explore it further, and you realize there's not a good church where I'm moving, and there's not a good school for my kids to go to, and I'm going to be removing us from a lot of anchors in our life. And if I take this job, it's going to mean that I never go to church anymore because they're requiring me to work where I can't go to church. And it's going to require me to be where my family is going to be out of church. Now, listen, beloved, you say, "Well, what voice is leading me this direction?" The Holy Spirit would never lead you into something that's going to cause you to disobey God's will. If you say that if I take this job, my family will be out of church, you got to ask yourself, what voice am I listening to here? Would God want me to be out of church? What's the answer to that? Would it ever be God's will for you to do something that would cause you to disobey him? Would God ever put you in a position that to obey him, you have to disobey him? Would God do that? So then you have to say, okay, I know then that that's not God's will because God would never lead me to do something that causes me to have to violate what I understood clearly as a principle. He wouldn't lead you out of his will. So you got to say, if this is a voice telling me to do something that leads me out of the will and the plan of God, You have to discern. That's not a holy voice. That is a evil voice. Number three, remember this principle. The voice of the Holy Spirit yields the fruit of the Spirit, which is explained in Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23. Let me say it again. The voice of the Holy Spirit yields the fruit of the Spirit, explained in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. You guys still out there? The fruit of the Spirit is explained. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance means strength, self-control. All those words go back to temperance. Against such, there is no law. We see the fruit of the Spirit outlined there. The voice of the Holy Spirit yields those things. A voice of evil will not. Number four, the voice of God will not lead you into temptation of sin or evil. The voice of God or the Holy Spirit will not lead you into temptation of sin or evil. James 1:13 declares this. Listen carefully. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The voice of God will not lead you into sin. The voice of God will not lead you to do things that are sinful. Listen, man in the room with marriage trouble, and you think the voice of God's telling you to run away with the bimbo at work? You feel like this is God's will? You say, everybody laughs because that would never happen. No, it does happen. And I've had people come seek my counsel, that they're in a marriage that they deem as condemned and loveless. But I've met Mrs. Wonderful at work, and she's so sweet. And I think that I need to leave my wife and go, man, I've actually had people seek my counsel. Wanting me to tell them it's okay, I guess, to leave their wife because some girl at work is flirting with him. No, you need to fix your marriage, bub. You need to, if your wife's not being sweet to you, it may be because you're the sour. And in 5 years, this little sweetie you met at work is going to be treating you just the same. But here's the point. It is not the Spirit of God telling you to leave your wife. The Spirit of God will never lead you to do something sinful. David Berkowitz was a brutal serial killer. He was also known as the Son of Sam. The Son of Sam said that he had heard a spirit that spoke to him, instructing him to commit these brutal murders that he committed. He said he heard a spirit that conveyed instructions and encouragement to him to go through with these things, and he deemed this spirit as some kind of spiritual counselor. It told him to kill people. The voice that he heard came from a dog named Harvey that he would talk to. And this dog told him to kill people. Now, I'm not going to say that he didn't hear voices, but I will suggest that the voice he heard coming from Harvey was an evil voice. Don't you wish sometimes you could not know what your dog's saying, though? Wouldn't that be great? I have a pastor friend of mine that I'm chasing this little humorous rabbit, but you're going to like this. I have a preacher friend of mine that told me about a boy he had in his church that was the sweetest kid, but he was a little special. And he would regularly tell far-fetched tales and, you know, big whoppers. And he came up to the preacher one day and he said, "Preacher, I discovered something this week." And he said, "What?" He said, "I've discovered that I can understand what dogs are saying." The preacher thought he was joking, then he realized, no, he's serious. He really believes that he's communicating with his dog and that he hears what dogs... He said, "Well, that's neat, man." Well, about 2 weeks later, the preacher was out doing some visiting and a dog chased him from a front porch all the way out to his car. He said, "I jumped in my car and I slammed my door and the dog literally ran and put his paws on my window and fogged up my window barking at me. There was saliva from the dog or saliva, how do you say it? Spit. There was spit all over the window. The dog was, well, he, of course, you know, backed down, went home. He got back to church. He saw that young man waiting at the church there. His parents were doing something. He walked up to me and said, man, I sure could have used you out soul winning today. He said, why, preacher? He said, well, I had this dog came out barking at me. And if you'd have been there, he said, he was upset. I don't know what he was upset about, but he was barking. He said, if you'd have been there, you could have told me what he was saying. The boy stood there like this. He was going. He goes, preacher, can you bark like he barked? And the preacher said, I'm just going to go with it. He said, sure. And so he started. And the boy went. And he said, preacher, that dog cussed you out. Oh, man. Some dogs are evil. Amen. The voice of evil. David Berkowitz, though, heard the voice of evil. He did some evil things. Listen to me. Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to hurt somebody. Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to use the weapons of violence. By the way, it's not always a knife or a gun. Sometimes it's our attitude, our spirit, our words, our voice. Holy Spirit's not going to lead us to do that. Number five, the voice of God brings peace in your spirit. The voice of evil brings disturbance, uncomfortableness, and conscious struggles. Voice of God brings peace. Evil voice brings a problem with your conscience, disturbs your spirit. Often when you're being coached from within, those voices that you hear, do this, do that, do this. The Holy Spirit's voice is going to take you to a place of good conscience. The evil spirit's going to take you to a place where you're going to not respect what you're doing. You're not going to be comfortable with the decision. You're not going to have peace. And we know that we are listening to an evil spirit when it produces evil fruits and yields evil actions in our life. The fruits of evil are the exact polar opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of evil are hate, spite, revenge, encouragement to engage in sinful activity, anger, rebellion, stubbornness, sensuality, sadness, division, and discord. Proverbs 16:28. Let's turn there quickly. Man, I got to hustle. I'm out of time, but this is important. If you will, go there. Proverbs 16. In Proverbs 16, we see three bad dudes mentioned. Three bad dudes. Let's see what happens here. Proverbs 16, we're going to see three bad dudes pointed out here by the hand of Solomon. Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 27. Now, in verse 25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, skip down to 27. We see the first bad dude, the ungodly man. If you have your pen, underline that. Ungodly man. Two words. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Verse 28, we see the second bad dude, a froward man. Underline that. A froward man. Now the word froward is an important word there. And it means to be false or perverse or deceitful. It's otherwise what we would call a con man. Somebody trying to lead somebody into something when they know it's not really the truth or it's false. It's kind of that image of that salesman that's selling something that he knows is bogus but doesn't mind selling it anyway. That's a froward heart, a dishonest person. He says here, the froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Then we see the third bad dude here, a violent man. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. You know, we see here in these scriptures three bad dudes. We see the ungodly man, the man that doesn't know God, and doesn't love God, doesn't live for God, doesn't value righteousness. we see this froward man. And this froward man is deceitful. And he stirs up strife. Then we see the violent man, the man that leads people into bad and sinful ways for them. He hurts them as a violent man would hurt someone. You know what? There's more ways to be violent than just with a gun, knife, or a stick, or a club, or a rock. Can a person have violence emotionally? Can a person be violated spiritually? So we see these three bad dudes. They're all three bad. In every case, it goes back to them using their mouth as their weapon to bring hurt. Catch it again there. The ungodly man diggeth up evil. How does he do that? In his lips, there's a burning fire. The froward man soweth up strife. How does he do that? Well, he's a whisperer. He's using his words to whisper, and he separates people in those words. Hey, the violent man enticeth his neighbor, and he leads him in a way that is not good. How does he do that? Well, moving his lips. Now, here's the case in all three bad dudes here. Are you ready for this? The only way they can hurt anybody is through their lips. So the only way they can hurt you is if they have your ear. They can only hurt the people who listen to them. They're three bad dudes. And how can you tell when it's a holy voice? Well, it's the opposite of the evil voice. The holy voice bears the fruit of the Spirit. An evil person speaking to you, or an evil spirit, is bringing the fruit of evil. I'm totally out of time. So I'm going to cut this message here and pick it up at another point. There's still more to say. I want you to bow your heads. Beloved, whose voice are you listening to? I wish there was just one voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit out there talking to you. But it's not. There's a lot of voices telling you what to do, trying to encourage you, trying to entice you, seduce you. Some of those voices are internal. Two of them are. One of them is external. There's that voice of intellect. Be wise. Seek wisdom. Seek knowledge. And there's that voice of spirituality. Discern good and evil spirituality. And then there's that voice of external counselors. Be careful who you hitch your wagon up to. Be careful whose voice you're listening to when it comes to counsel. And you can discern it. If somebody's counseling you against the word of God, that's an evil counselor. If they're counseling you out of the will of God, that's an evil counselor. If their counseling does not display or produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit would be peace. The fruit of evil would be uncomfortableness and a conscience that's violated. And you're not being led or coached by a holy counsel voice. There's more to learn on this topic. Time's not going to permit it this morning, but we will revisit it. In the next week, I'm going to encourage you to answer the call. God's trying to speak to you. He's trying to call you. God's trying to call to you. Answer the call. This morning, is God trying to call to you? Do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit calling to you? Maybe it's in an area of your spirituality that you need to come and get right with God. Do you hear Him calling? Answer the call. Maybe it's a call to do service or to surrender to something. Answer that call. Maybe the call is coming to you in the area of salvation. And Jesus is calling for you to give your heart to Him today. He's calling for you to get saved. Let Him save you. And He's calling to you. Won't you let him save you? Meanwhile, there's another voice calling to you, telling you to not do what the Spirit is calling you to do, telling you to not get saved, calling for you to not get right with God. Whose voice are you listening to? That voice that says, who is he to talk to you? Who is that preacher? He ain't perfect, and you're so right. But I am one of the three voices that God uses in your life. God speaks to you through preaching. Maybe this morning there's the Holy Spirit saying you need to get some things right. And maybe there's an evil spirit saying ignore it. Don't answer it. Let it go to voicemail. Oh, pick up the phone. Answer the call. Is there anyone here today that could say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I want to be saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Preacher, I need to be saved. I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit calling to me. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And when I do, they're going to begin to play, and Brother Jeremy is going to start to sing. Won't you answer the call this morning? Answer the call. Dear Lord, work in this auditorium. Let your voice be heard plainly, loudly. And I pray that our people will answer the call. Are you ready?